On February 5th, as the Beatles return from their Paris trip, it's announced that they'll be leaving in 2 days for America, where their singles hold down the top three spots on the charts. The Times ran a piece entitled Singing Beatles Prepare for U.S. It said, a multi-million dollar industry, the Beatles, returned from Paris today to prepare for an American debut as Britain's hottest commodity. A quartet of mop-haired beat singers who hold their guitars like watering cans will leave Friday for New York. On the 7th of February in London, four nervous Beatles and their entourage, including Phil Spector, board Pan Am Flight 101, afraid that their appearance in the U.S. will be a flop.
I remember Phil was so paranoid about flying that he cancelled his flight until our flight and booked on the same flight as us because he thought that we were winners and so he wouldn't crash.
In New York, radio stations were giving the time in Beatle minutes and the weather in Beatle degrees. At 1:35 that afternoon, they arrived at New York Airport and were greeted by hysteria. Ten 10,000 fans filled the airport with the song, We Love You Beatles, Oh Yes We Do.
We love you Beatles, oh yes we do. We don't love anyone as much as you. When you're not with us, we're blue. Oh,
it's a mob, you know, they're just a part of the mob. I mean, they're monkey see, monkey do, so they come running. That's all, just like a bunch of monkeys, you know?
You look like a housewife. Are you out here to see the Beatles?
Oh, you must be kidding. My husband's coming in. Otherwise, do you think I'd fight this motley crew?
How old are you?
I'm 16.
Why are you here?
Because everybody else is here. I don't know.
Did you cut school to come down here?
No, we have half day. I cut school.
What do you think of the Beatles?
I think they're fabulous.
We're from Arkansas.
You came up from Arkansas to see the Beatles?
Yeah, University of Arkansas, Fayetteville.
What do you think of the Beatles?
Oh, we're okay. More than, I want to come see excitement more than anything else. Okay.
Where are you from?
I'm on Long Island. We love the Beatles. We love them. You can hear them.
Brian Epstein described their arrival later in his book, A Cellar Full of Noise. He said, as we waited until the other passengers got off the plane and the four Beatles made their first appearance on American soil, there was a tumult of wild screams and applause from the fantastic crowd. It seems the entire building, the whole of the top of the airport, was filled with people. It was tremendously exciting and one of the most memorable moments of my life. I have never before or since seen so many photographers lined up anywhere in the world. An official at the airport shook his head and said, we've never seen anything like this before. Never, not even for kings and queens. When they landed, the Beatles went to the biggest press conference they had ever had.
They started asking us all funny questions. So we just started answering them with stupid answers.
Are you in favor of the lunacy that you create?
No, it's great. We like lunatics. Yeah. Healthy.
Would you sing a song?
No.
Sorry. Next
question. No, we need money first.
How much money do you intend to take out of America?
About half a crown, $2. Sorry, depends on the tax.
Are you for Elvis Presley's?
He must be blind.
It's not true. It's not true.
Do you ever get haircuts?
No. I had one yesterday.
That's no lie.
That's the truth. Honest, that's a bit.
No, I think he missed. No?
No, he didn't, no.
You should have seen him the day before.
Okay, one here.
How do you account for your great success?
If we knew, we'd form another group and be managers.
Why do you sing like Americans but speak with an English accent?
That is English, actually. It's not English, it's Liverpudlian, you see.
Well, the Liverpool accent, so the way you say some of the words. No, you say grass instead of grass.
Grass?
Well, that sounds a bit American. Liverpool.
When are you going to retire?
No, probably
not. No, we're going to keep going as long as we can.
When we get fed up with it, you know, we're still enjoying it now.
Any minute now.
So much money.
No. As long as we enjoy it, we'll do it. Because we enjoyed it before we made any money.
What do you think of Beethoven?
Great. Especially his poems.
The Beatles were then taken to the Plaza Hotel, which was besieged by screaming fans.
Yeah, they're upstairs, right over there. Look at there. There he is.
the window. What? There he is at the window. I think it's Ringo.
Ringo.
He's short. Because he's short. There he is. Look at him.
There he is. This is great.
The hair's what makes them. It distinguishes them from all others.
By Sunday, February 9th, George, Paul, John, and Ringo were ready for their first national appearance.
Now, yesterday and today, our theater's been jammed with newspapermen and hundreds of photographers from all over the nation, and these veterans agree with me that the city never has witnessed the excitement stirred by these youngsters from Liverpool who call themselves the Beatles. Now, tonight, you're going to twice be entertained by them, right now and again in the second half of our show. Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles! Let's go.
Beatles first appeared on our show February 9th, 1964, and I've never seen any scenes to compare with the bedlam that was occasioned by their debut on our show. Broadway was just jammed with people for almost eight blocks. It was completely jammed with people. They were screaming and yelling. They stopped traffic. It was just indescribable. And on that same bill with them were the youngsters from the Broadway hit of that day, Oliver, comedian Frank Gorshin, Tessie O'Shea. It was just bedlam. There's never been anything like it in show business. And the New York City police are very happy it hasn't and won't happen again.
The show had been sold out for weeks. 50,000 requests were made for the 728 available seats. It was enormously successful and was seen by a record 73 million people. After the show, Elvis Presley sent them a congratulatory telegram. Billy Graham broke his strict rule of not watching television on the Sabbath just to see them and said, quote, "They're a passing phase. All are symptoms of the uncertainty of the times and the confusion about us." Brian Epstein thought it was perfect timing.
Going over at that particular moment for those two Ed Sullivan shows could not have been more right. The records were just at the top. They'd been at the top for a couple of weeks, and they were still at the top.
The New York police reported that during the broadcast, not one hubcap had been stolen, and not one major crime was committed by a teenager in all of North America. Another product of this hysteria was a song by Bonnie Joe Mason, better known later as Cher. Other songs from this time include this by the Vernon Girls.
We love the Beatles. We love the Beatles. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And this by the Carefrees. On February 11th, they did their first live U.S. concert at the Washington Coliseum with Tommy Rowe, the Chiffons, and the Caravels in front of 20,000 screaming fans.
Thank you very much. Well,
thank you very much.
This next song that we'd like to sing, before we do it, we'd like to thank everybody here in America, Washington, America, we'd like to thank everybody for buying this particular record and starting this thing off in America and giving us the chance to come here and see you all in Washington. Thank you!
Afterwards, they went to their first and last reception at the British Embassy in Washington.
I think they're fine. I think they're a riot. I know that they've given me more work to do than I've had at any time since the Queen of England was here 7 years ago.
Mr. Mitchell, I know you're a diplomat. Can I throw you sort of a diplomatic code?
By all means.
One wit said that the Beatles were the British payment for the Skywalk. You think there's any validity in that?
No, I wouldn't say they're the British payment for the Sky Bolt. No. No, let us say they're the British payment for all that spam you sent us during the war.
Although the ambassador and his wife were very nice, their guests were strangely lacking in etiquette. Several guests demanded autographs, and one lady cut a lock of Ringo's hair off. The Beatles were less than amused. On February 12th, they did the two shows at Carnegie Hall, arranged by Sid Bernstein.
It was one of the great days of my life. It was the Beatles' first visit to America.
The next day, they flew to Miami and enjoyed a few days in the sun.
We went out on a yacht today, you know, and we sort of bathed around a bit. Very good it was.
Then, on the 15th, they rehearsed for their second appearance on The Ed Sullivan Show, which was televised the 16th.
The Beatles!
On February 21st, it's reported that the Beatles have been voted Show Business Personalities of the Year by the Variety Club of Great Britain.
I'd just like to say the same as the others. Thanks for the Purple Hearts. Silver! Oh, yeah. Sorry about that, Harold.
When the Beatles arrived back in Britain from their first American tour on February 22nd, Ringo told the reporters that what had happened in the U.S. was just like in Britain, only 10 times bigger.
We never expected anything like this.
George's only complaint was about the jelly babies the fans kept throwing at him on stage. He said, they don't have soft jelly babies in the States, but hard ones, just like bullets.
What impressed you most about the place? You have time to take anything in properly?
Yeah. I don't know. I think I enjoyed the sun in Miami most of all. You know, healthy.
You're the healthy one.
No. No, but the sun was sort of
very healthy.
Yeah, very healthy.
Did you have a chance to get away from anybody at any time on the trip?
Yeah.
You got away from me twice.
what did you most like about the trip, Ringo?
Oh, I just loved all of it, you know, especially Miami. The sun, you know. I didn't know what it meant until I went over there.
Don't you get it up in Liverpool?
No, they finished up there, you know. Cut it out.
Did you ever have a chance, John, to just get away on your own without anybody recognizing you?
We borrowed a couple of millionaires' houses, you know.
We did. You could afford to buy a couple of millionaires' houses, couldn't you?
No, John. We're sooner borrow them, it's cheaper.
John was asked if he was surprised at their success in the U.S.
We didn't think we stood a chance in Heath. We just didn't imagine it at all. We didn't even bother. We were just going, even when we came over to America the first time, we were only coming over to buy LPs. I know our manager had plans for Ed Sullivan shows, but we thought at least we'll hear the sounds when we get over there. It's just out of the dark, you know. You know, that's the truth. It's so out of the dark. We were knocked out, like, we didn't know what happened.
Paul has a different story.
We were working on the whole thing, and so by the time we sort of got to the States there, say, for instance, the hair, what was really a bit of an accident, and it was really sort of what a lot of artsy people were doing anyway. We were the first with it in the States, so it looked like we'd invented it. Actually, the story was not half as exciting. It was much more ordinary, like life is. But by the time it actually got to the presentation on the Ed Sullivan Show, the biggest show in the States, and there we were with these funny haircuts, it was us. Everyone used to say, you started the Beatle haircut. And so it was like just distilling the whole essences of all these changes we were going through, and we just laid it all in one big move on the Americans. That's why it had such a big shocking effect.
For the rest of the month, hysteria continued, though their appearances were few. John's first book, In His Own Right, came out at the beginning of March. The book went right to the top of the bestseller lists, leaving James Bond behind.
This one's called I Sat Be Lonely, right. I sat be lonely down a tree, humbled, fat and small. A little lady sing to me, I couldn't see at all. I'm looking up and at the sky to find such wondrous voice. Puzzle, puzzle, wonder why I hear, but have no choice. Speak up, come forth, you ravel me, I potty menthol shout. I know you're hiddy by this tree, but still she won't come out. Such softly singing lulled me sleep an hour or two or so. I wake me slow and took a peep, and still no lady show. Then suddy on a little twig, I thought I see a sight, a tiny little tiny pig that sing with all its might. I thought you were a lady, I giggle, well I may. To my surprise, the lady got up and flew away. The end.
Later in the month, John is awarded a prestigious literary prize. For his acceptance speech at a special luncheon, John said simply,
Thank you very much, and God bless you. You've got a lucky face.
The Beatles perform at the New Musical Express All Winners Concert in Wembley Stadium, introduced by Murray the K. On March 20th, 1964, the Beatles released their sixth single. In Britain alone, there are advance orders of over 1 million, and they appear on the popular British TV program Ready, Steady, Go! To perform it. In America, they had six songs in the top 10, and this record joined them at the top. In the studio at the time, George Martin suggested a change in Paul's original structure of the song.
When they first sang it to me, it was sort of da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and that was the beginning of the song. So I said, well, we really need a tag for the ending, we need a tag for the beginning, a kind of intro. And so what I did was I took the first few lines of the actual chorus and changed the ending of it. Said, right, let's just have these lines, and by altering the end of the second phrase, we can get back into the verse pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And they said, hey, that's not a bad idea. Yes, okay, we'll do it that way.
Paul tells how they wrote the piece.
Can't Buy Me Love was written, really, when we were in Paris. Yeah. We had to have a new record ready for recording in England, and we were going to record a song in Paris as well. So we wrote Can't Buy Me Love there, and we recorded the first track of it in Paris, and we finished it off in London. So it's two-country effort. It's double-tracked, you know.